All right, so let's start at Tzmach Bochem. So, Tzmach Bochem, V'yaldu Secha, V'yitivcha Livcha, V'yimei Bachura Secha, V'alech B'dachi Libecha, V'mare Enecha, V'daki Al Kol Eile Yivircha, V'lakim V'mishpat. So, Rashi learns it as a kind of a threat, right? Tzmach Bochem, V'yaldu Secha, Ka'odam Sh'oim V'la'avdoi V'livnoi, Chatei Chatei, Kipam achas tiloke al hakoel. Afkana chocham oma smach bocha vialdesecha vahalof bedache libecha obotuach tiye ki al kol ele yivircha hashoifet b'mishpat. Now it's sort of a sarcastic kind of thing. Now, just, you know, have your fun while it lasts, but you're not going to enjoy it in the end. That's a rather sort of a sad kind of note to finish the Megillah on. And the emphasis is that if you look at the context in which it comes, it doesn't sound like that really. And it doesn't sound as though what the Pasuk is saying is a sort of a, yeah, you know, like have fun and just watch and see what happens. It seems that the whole Perek is a Perek of Mole Simcha. Remember, it tells you in the beginning, Shalach lach mechal pnei amoim, kiburav ha-yom timtzeeno, try, ten chevi b'shevi gam l'shmoino, shom ruach la yizro, don't watch the wind too much. If you watch the wind too much, you're going to sow. You're never going to get anything done. Baboyka zeroi zerachol, erval tanach yotcho. It's a very upbeat kind of perek, right? It's a perek which is telling us to be very, very, very happy with life, and which really, when you get right down to it, is the very, like, big stira to the concept that Kahelas is a sad sefer, or a downbeat sefer, is Hachas V'Shalom, Sefer Neshan. Again, the whole tachlis of the sefer is to encourage us to grab a hold of life with both hands and to do everything that we can in a happy, positive, upbeat kind of way. The only message which the sefer has told us was that do it not tachas hashemesh, but do it lemaile min hashemesh. And that is why the pasuk over here came out with this beautiful pasuk which we saw. Like mosay ka'oya, v'toiv le'inayim liroys es hashemesh, right? That the world can be such a beautiful world, that the oil, the light can be sweet. See, where the whole Koheles has been a sort of a vekeshtel, like about the dangers of the shemesh, right? Ma yisran le'odam, so he ends up over here, fakir du mosar ka'oye v'toiv le'inayim liroys es hashamesh. And we said that depends, are you tachas hashamesh or are you roya es hashamesh? If you're tachas hashamesh, it means that you let the shemesh control you, and you're tuck in bad shape, that's not good. But if you're liroys es hashamesh, that means you're on the outside and the shemesh is over there, that means you control it. You take the shemesh on your own terms, you make it work for you, then fakir, that's the world is a very, very happy place, it's a very simchatic place, it's a beautiful place, it's a gorgeous place. So in that context, to learn over here sort of smach bocha b'yaldu secha, in a threatening kind of way, like Rashi learns, like you just have your fun while you can, and in the end you're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon on it, I don't think is the spirit of the perek, of the section. Taking it in context, about the gewiss, it means the exact opposite. And what it means is, enjoy your youth, Takim, right? Be happy in your bachus, be happy in your youth. Feel good about the mei bachur asecha. That if you aren't, if you go around life like a geriatric case, yeah, sort of, without the enthusiasm of youth, in other words, not allowing your youthful exuberance to make you take life and sort of jump into it with both feet, then there's going to be a cheshbon, there's going to be a mishpat. In other words, youth, the enthusiasm of youth, the energy of youth, the can-do attitude of youth, These are wonderful gifts which the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us. And if we don't use them, and use them to their fullest, so then, that Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be maybe a b'mishpat. So let's think about that a little bit. In that, what youth can, the gift of youth can give to a person? Nagos, youth is a very, very beautiful gift. Kina Yisroel Vaveya, the Pasuk says in Yom Yom. Vaishnav loves Yisroel because Yisroel makes himself into a youth, somebody who's young. What are the milas of youth? I've forgotten, you guys must know. What are the milas of youth? See, I think it's too often that we age before our time. That's taka not good. I mean, how many times I talked to a bacha, trying to encourage him, take a sukkah, work it through. And go deeper, noch deeper, more, understand better, understand more. So the man says, yeah, but I got to finish the Masechta. Why you got to finish the Masechta? Makes you feel good. Makes you feel good. You got a whole Masechta under your belt. So, do you know the Masechta after you finished? Yeah, I know a little bit, you know. See, I think that kind of attitude, now I'm not putting in a commercial now for Ion as opposed to learning the Kiyoslik, although that's something which ought to be discussed. But what I mean is, see, this concept, for example, I've got to feel good. I need the glad, I need the candy. Everybody needs a candy. Everybody needs to feel good. Right? But sort of to not live up to challenges. Not to live up to challenges, because challenges hurt sometimes, and they're painful, and they demand effort, they demand, you know, there's a lot of pain in birth. Chevle leida, and then being productive and being creative, that goes together with a lot of pain. And I think that this inclination to shoulder those both pangs, and rather sort of have a sort of a palliative, okay, I finished the Masechta, like I feel good, I finished. That's more fitting to an old age home than to a young person. A young person has to rise to challenge. Young person, sometimes you know you're mekane the goyim. So I don't know, like I'm not particularly physically brave, and but you see that lachves, like you see these see pictures of all of the mountain climbers. Unbelievable what they're doing. They're on a sheer rock and they're hanging there. And sometimes the latest thing is not to hang. The latest thing is without ropes. And again, it's mamish neuer nervous to see what they do. Or the lachves, skydiving. It's like there's mamish no sheer of meshugas which is shy. But the emphasis is it's not some sugar when you come to think of it. Yeah? I mean, let's say the guy who climbs the mountain and he's up that sheer wall and he manages to control his physical fears. I don't say that it's a right thing to do, maybe it's not a right thing to do. I mean, it's posh like putting your life into sakona. You don't do that unless you're not makshif life enough. But let's take the nice side of it. And then he gets up there, Taka, and he sees a gorgeous view which nobody's ever seen. And he can stand up there with a self-knowledge of having conquered a height, of having done something which nobody else has done, or which very few other people have done, that he's conquered his fear, he's conquered his hurts, he's controlled himself, he's managed to be hungry, he's managed to be tired, he's managed to be cold, and in spite of that, he's managed to do what he set out to do, and there are rewards at the end. That's the koyach of youth. That's so I don't know why why we, I don't have physical courage. I don't know, I'm afraid of being hurt. Maybe we were mechunach from childhood. You don't fight, go and fight. I don't know, I wasn't mechunach to fight. But it's an emphasis, it's a mishunadik koyach to be able to do that. Why don't we do more than we really are doing? So we're afraid of being tired, afraid of being hungry. What are we afraid of? So instead of being heroic or doing heroic things, we tend to just sort of drift. And I think that's what the pasuk means when the pasuk says, "Bada ki al kol ele yivircho v'elokim b'mishpat." Because that's a terrific responsibility to shoulder. It means to have had the Ribbono Shel'olam give one this unbelievable gift of youth and enthusiasm, and to dissipate it, and not to use it, and to act like an old person, very careful, very, very, you want to do this wrong, you want to do that wrong. You don't, that's not a right gisha. A young person, alright, let's already say that he's decided that he has to finish a Masechta. He wants to finish a Masechta. Don't say there's nothing bad about finishing a Masechta. There's everything good about finishing a Masechta. But what's the difference between a young person and an old person? What's the difference between a youthful Gisha to that and an old Gisha to that? So the Zokan, who's lost his sort of, like, he's become too much of a realist and he knows the limitations and he knows that he can't do everything. So I'll say, all right, I'll finish the Masechta, I'll try my best. What's coming from? Yeah? The youthful person, the bocher, the yelet, yeah? He's going to say, sure, I'm going to do it. Yeah? But I'm not going to do it once. I'm going to do it 100 times. I'm going to do it 200 times. 300 times. Right? I'm going to conquer this mountain. I'm going to know it. I'm going to know the Masechta by heart. You mean I'm going to know the Masechta by heart? I've never even known the Mishnah by heart. The answer is, that's the difference between a bocher and an old person. The bocher has that enthusiasm. Bocher has that koyach to not be spoiled by obstacles. A lot of times, the obstacles aren't really such choshev obstacles. See a difficult thing to cross. You have the guts to do it, and then you're over the top, and you see it wasn't so bad at all. Only once my hergish of the tzura of a ben teure, and somebody who's an oved Hashem, I learned it out from Noyah ben Yehoyada, right? The Noyahu ben Yehoyada, the Chazal, ben Noyah ben Yehoyada. It's a very, very instructive, and that's mamash the nekuda which we're talking about. Uhiko es ha'ari yom ha'shelek, the pasuk says about him. He was a gibbon, and he killed an ari on a snowy day. There was a lion. He traced him to his lair, and he killed him on a snowy day in a yom shelek. Mepharshim say yom shelek, that's when you're cold, you don't feel like doing anything very courageous, and you'd rather, much rather, wrap yourself up in a blanket someplace and be warm and cuddle under. And he didn't. He went after the lion, and the lion can defend himself very well, because all he needs to do is to, with his feet and with his tail, he'll sort of stir up the snow and throw the snow into the hunter's eyes, so the hunter won't see where he's going. And the Ari was in his lair. In the lair, he's much more sort of desperate, and he'll defend himself much more fiercely. And all those things didn't stand in the way of Noyah ben Yehoyada, and he did it. So Shetach in Chazal, what does it mean? That he was Hikko Esari v'yam Sholek. So Shetach in Chazal, that he, two Lashonos told you. Right? One Lashon, he finished Teres Kayanim in a Leil Teves, in a long winter night. He finished the whole Teres Kayanim. That's the Ari. That's the lion on the Yom Sholek. In other words, Teres Kayanim is a lion. It's a scary thing to tackle. You can get hurt, because it's so difficult. And whoever heard of anything doing like that? of finishing it on one night. Tavaskanim is a very, very shvera limud. All the dinim of kotchem, the limudim, the gedorim. So he finished it in one night. The other one says that he had to go to the mikveh, had to become tohar. So it was cold, it was frozen over, the river was frozen. So he broke the ice and he jumped into the river. So that's the Ari which he conquered on the winter's day. Yeah. So that's Shanemal an Ari, right? I would say for sure, yeah. And that is precisely what I mean. See, that is I think that what Chazal are saying over here is this idea of the youthful vigor. Right? You don't find Skenim hunting lions. Right? What Chazal said is that the Ben Torah is the person who tackles everything that needs to be done. He tackles everything that needs to be done with guts and with enthusiasm and with an awareness that he's going to be able to do it. Not dafka that the only way to be over the Rabbeinu Shlalom is learning Taras Kayin and Vaisleis Chazal. You can kill a lion too. Tanach Shteti killed a lion. Zecher the Pshuta Shel Mikra is also Emes. The lion needed to be killed, so he went out and killed him. The Tvila needed to take place, so you go out and break the ice. In other words, to do whatever is to be done, to do it with Koyach, to do it with enthusiasm, to do it with a sort of a self-confidence, the self-confidence of youth. I gaiva is a bad thing. No, gaiva is a wonder, very wonderful thing. Right? A kind of gaiva, the kind of gaiva which tells me that I'm able to do it, that doesn't allow me to be scared of undertaking seemingly difficult or seemingly impossible tasks. The emes is, the most beautiful expression I heard about that once was an expression from Rav Issa Zalman in a letter which he wrote. I told you once, I've mentioned Rav Avrom Elior Kaplan. Meshunadiki Yitu, unfortunately, died very young. He was a very, very Reise Ilui. And he had a dream. He even learned in Slovakia, the Rosh Hashiva remembers him from his Slovakia years. He had a terrific dream once, that he wanted to write a new Perush on Shas. And very interestingly, he wrote a huge ma'arocha to show why this new Perush was necessary. In other words, he wanted to demonstrate why the present Perushim which exist aren't adequate to our needs, and that therefore it needs a new Perush. So under, I think it must have been about 13 headings or so, he wrote huge ma'arochas, like which were unbelievable bekiyas and yediyas and lamdas, to show the difficulties in Shas as it is today, unexplained. The first thing is, for example, poshet to be meforesh munochim, which are left unexplained. For example, the first Mishnah, ad alois hashachar. What's alois hashachar? So Rishonim don't do very much about it. So he is mefalpe, and Yerushalmi is in the Tosefta's, and ahin and aher to be mevareh. Yeah, the diyuk, what is alois hashachar? And then he shows how he would write that in his parish. It would all come out in just one or two little sentences. But he's got about 13 big ma'arochas over there, from everywhere, from Kol HaShas Kula. He was a young man, he died at 32. So it's Neure Neuro is what he did. Anyway, so you can see it on what it's Divrei Talmud, it's called. It's published like that. There's a sefer there with tshuvas in and so on and so forth. That's the beginning. It's Divrei. I call upon him. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer wrote that Rav Issa Zalman's son was together with Avraham Eli Kaplan when he was writing this marochas, and he told his father what an iller he is, that he was being mechadish all the Torah as he went along. In other words, it wasn't the pshadish that he had this shtekler, right? But he decided to write this kuntos, and he worked it all through, like while he was doing it. In other words, it means that literally he had kol haTorah kula at his fingertips. Anyway, so he was going to write this this Perush on Shas and undertake it all by himself. So this Zalman has a Loshen over there. He says that to have such an Unternehmung, to have such an undertaking, he says that's a mean Geyus de Kedusha. A beautiful phrase, and it's a phrase that we have to remember. The Geyus de Kedusha. It's a holy arrogance. And that's a Mishnah de Kazakh. In other words, he says that somebody who isn't an unbelievable Balgaido, like who could sort of possibly tracht to himself, who could possibly sort of mess sich with such a Sach, as our Unternehmung. I'm going to write a Perush on Shas. You know what that means? Rashi wrote a Perush on Shas. I'm going to write a Perush on Shas. This is often called a Geyus de Kedusha. I can't pick up the Gemoras from Badin Steinsalz without being unbelievably in a spoil. Like the same kind of Geyus de Kedusha. Exactly how every Yesoid and what is Mechadish, exactly, I don't know. I never used the Gemoras sort of in a consistent kind of way. I don't really have an opinion about how well it's been done. But from what I've seen, it seems very, very excellent. But besides everything else, to have such an Unternehmung that as an individual person, I am going to write a new Perush on Shas with this and with this and with that and with that, that is a Geyus de Kedusha. Lahavdil ben Chaim l'Chaim. Yid like of Aryeh Kaplan Zeres HaLevoach. The Chumash which he wrote, which he, the translation of the Chumash. Yeah, good, nish good. There are Lukadeus, some say that some of the translations are too subjective, but very chiddushlik, some of the things. I personally find it very useful. However, if you look at that Chumash, and you see the footnotes, you see the Yediyas, you see what that man worked through, it absolutely boggles the mind. And in his Hakdom over there to the Chumash, he writes, he did it in 9 months. Now, it's absolutely so mind-boggling that it's just like you can't even describe. I can tell you a little bit about translating how hard it is. It's a very, very hard job. But forget about the translating now. But the liquid of the Yediyas, to have seen every single sefer, to have been able to isolate every nekuda, to have to been oimed on what each rishon held and how he was different to the other rishonim, and to find the accurate translation for that, and to find the accurate way of putting that. That's the kind of thing which is a geyus de kedusha. So that's in Mechabrim, let's say, who have written Sforim, which have shown a holy arrogance in doing things which a normal person would have been scared of. Said, no, this nish for me, I can't do that. I can't mess it with such a thing. Okay, so all of us can have a fairly good tarot on that. They're Elohim, so we are not Elohim. Present company excluded, those of us who are not Elohim, right? So we can't do that. So what about Vosayid Tud? And stands at a Kaisel and can rechem Bali Tshuva in the thousands of people whom he's been Makarev. Yid without any Geusse Kaisel, without anything special, but no Geusse Iluyas. Stop. Nerdecha Yid who cared about other people. Geyus de Kedusha. I can't do that. I can't talk to people. I haven't got the touch, and I haven't got the this, and I haven't got the that. And while we're all busy with all our excuses, a guy can stand there and literally Ratav Olamas. Each person is an Olam Mole. So thousands of people. I told you once a story, it bears repeating, of a person who was eternally youthful, an old man. I'll tell you what Rav Schneezer Tzadikovich said about that. It's Menyona, what we're talking about. Some of you probably heard this from me before already, others haven't. My youngest son is called Aaron David. The the Aaron part is after my Rosh Hashiva Zeretz Hashavot of Aaron Kotler. The David part is after a Yid called Rav David Dryan. David Dryan was the Shoichet in Geitzer. It was an old, in my time he was already old, elderly Litvish Yid, a Shoichet, and he was the Shoichet in Geitzer. So why do I call the Yingel David? First of all, because he wasn't Shoichet the children, never had any children. So, but what was he? So, I don't know whether any of you have ever been in Gateshead, but Gateshead is a very, very interesting place, a very Maivadika place, really. I was there again recently, less than a year ago. It's unbelievable. Shunadika Yeshiva is a Shtaki Yeshiva, Maivadika Yeshiva. Koil is a beautiful koil, there's a huge girls' seminary there, as you may know. The other meisters. It's a Shunadika Teuradika place. Mole Teura. In a very, very unusual kind of a way. Very unusual kind of a way. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the mechaylel of that shtot, of that Gateshead, was this Rav David Dryan. Because when he came to Gateshead, there was nothing there. See, Gateshead is a little town. It's across the river from Newcastle. Newcastle is one of the very big cities in England. Very big port city. Used to be the coal center of England. Coal was, of course, very, very important one time. Nowadays, it's sort of ausgespielt a little bit in that area. It used to be coal was a very big Indian, and Newcastle was the coal capital of England. It was a huge port city. And in the end of the last century, the boats which came over, which when people came from Poland, from the immigrations, one of the ports where they arrived was in Newcastle, and the tendency was that they settled in Newcastle, and there was a huge Jewish community there, which unfortunately, as happened over here in America also, and has happened in many other places, they lost touch with Torah, they weren't Elohi Yidden anymore. But there were a few people who decided they wanted to remain Elohi Yidden. So instead of staying in Newcastle, they crossed the bridge, and they settled in this little town of Gates, a very small town, very dirty town. My time when I was there, nobody had washing machines, so you had to wash and hang out the washing. So it always was exactly 2 minutes later. It was much dirtier than when you hung it out because of the coal dust. The whole thing was, it was always everywhere there was coal dust. Everything was black. You breathed coal, you ate coal, you drank coal. That was Gates. Alright, So they started this Frumma community over there. And at one point they hired this Shoichet, who had been a Talmud in Raden, been a Talmud by the Chofetz Chaim. And he came and he became a Shoichet over there. So they had a little community, let's say 50 Balabatim, 70 Balabatim, maybe 100 Balabatim, everybody from. But nobody had any kind of hasagas of a yeshiva. That was something which was completely rochek from anybody. So this Rav David Dryan wrote a letter to the Chofetz Chaim. And he said, listen, I just got a job over here. I'm in Gateshead, and I got a job as a Shoichet. And surprise, surprise, I came here, and there's a flourishing yeshiva. All that's needed is he sent him over to become Rosh Yeshiva of this flourishing yeshiva in Gateshead, which of course was existent only in the Shoichet's imagination. So he came over there, and he said, well, let me start saying Shir. There just wasn't anybody, so they schlepped around England and found a couple of Bochum here, this and that, and that's how the yeshiva started. This was from David. That's how he started the yeshiva. A couple of years later, it was the war years already, so he decided that there's got to be a koilel. So a koilel was like a dover, especially during the war, it was a dover rochek, which nobody could ever dream about even. It was just like a musik, which was completely, absolutely, and utterly foreign to anybody. And Professor Zechav Tzadik Levracha was the last person who would have dreamt about it. He had a rabbonus in the East End in London, he had a nice little rabbonus, and he sat and he learned, and he wrote Kuntresim, very interesting Kuntresim, they are extant in learning, not in Muslim. It was a big Eloi. And he was a little rabbanus, and wasn't bothering a soul. And he was sitting and learning. One day, there's a knock on the door. Tries up there. Yeah? So, Odessa, Odessa, you're coming to get it. We're starting a coil. So, Odessa said, coil, yes, a dream. In the middle of the war, people, time for coil. Shine. The bottom line was, got Odessa to get it. Started the coil first with two people, and that became the mission to get the coil after a while. And so on and so on. I don't want to bore you with all the stories of every single one of the moisters in Detzel, which each one of them is a Shem of Erez, was more or less directly started by the Shoichet, by the Sultavit Rhine. The interesting thing about him was that he did all this without ever speaking. There was a Yid who kept Shmiras Haloshen his whole life. He was a Talmid of the Chofetz Chaim, and he kept Shmiras Haloshen. That means, not true to say that he didn't speak, but he never spoke a sentence. In other words, I could say a word or two, kum, something like that. But a sentence he didn't speak. The Yid who kept Shmiras Haloshen. And Azedos, he was going to have a very, very elf Yid. So why am I telling you this story? Because I told the same story once to shortly after I came to Lakewood, we were schmoozing, we were in a car together, and I told him the story about this of David. So he said, Mishunadik Ha'ovah, and it's Ha'ovah, which is worth repeating, which everybody should know. Says, the funny thing is you have a Shoichet, and you come, you know, he's lived a useful life, lived a good life, and he comes in front of the Beis Mishan Mala. So what do we figure that they're going to ask him? Yeah? What was he? A Shoichet. So Mistama, what are they going to ask him? Did you Shecht Elech? Yeah? Were you Chalef well? Were you careful? Well, you should have been careful. And Mistama, they'll ask a little bit. Did you learn a Mishnah or two once in a while? Did you come to Davening? You know, well, should be an Elech Yid more than that. What can you ask of a Shoichet? He says, like, what a surprise it's going to be if a little Shoichet comes up to the Beis Mishan Mala and they ask him, did you make a yeshiva for 300 vachim? Did you start a koilel in the middle of the war? Did you make a seminary for 400 girls? So what do you want from me? I'm a Shoichet. But this Yid did it. Yeah, that if he hadn't done it, that would have been a tzvir. The Beis Mishan Mala had tzvirs on him. Like, he had the koyach to do it. If you could do it, why didn't you do it? That was Rav Shneur's Ha'orah. Yeah, that's the same kind of idea. You know, he was a Yid who was a Kol Yomov. He was a child. Yeah, only a child can dream of a Kailal and get it in the middle of the war. You have no idea what the middle of the war was like. Obviously, you don't. But it wasn't conducive to Kailal. For sure it wasn't. No, even people were dying, nobody had any panos, people weren't there, the businesses were broken, nobody was buying anything, nobody was. It was a very terrible matter. I mean, Baruch Hashem, it was a lot better than it was in many other places. However, that what tells is who dreams of such knowledge, guys, and that's a child. A child dreams, a child imagines, a child builds castles. So That's the child. The child in, you know, the gadlus. The person becomes a godl in pe'ula. The person becomes able to do the impossible if he allows himself to be a child. If he allows himself not to be blunted by reality. Because there were a million very, very, very good arguments why none of this should have happened. Blood, it's not right, you got to like Chofetz Chaim, and you tell him a lie, and you say there's a yeshiva, and there's no yeshiva. He would have asked a lot of shaylos. There's no suffix in the world that there would have been 50 million reasons not to do any of the things that he did. And history has benefited a great deal from the fact he didn't ask the shaylos. He was a child, he was impetuous. He saw only one thing. He saw that the Rebbeinu Shem needed something done. So he did it. Reality is a very, very horrible thing. And it's the zach which The etzem can dampen a great deal, one of the most horrible things in the world. And we all make shalom with reality. Mentioned before here, for the time of the Rosenberg by some Matzliach, Rosenberg with the Kirchhoff Heiken, that he doesn't give up. We try to be Makar of somebody, we try to help somebody. We help once, we help twice, we help three times. Then comes a point at which we say, I'm trying to look, I've done what I can. You can't break your head, it's goodness, I've done my best. So then somebody will say, come on, but try again, what kind of science? I'll try once more. But then after a point, it's finished. What's the koyach in a person? What's the koyach of tenacity in a person which doesn't give up? And which says, no, don't take no for an answer. If you want to have a mushel for that, see a kid asking for a candy, right? Or to stay up late, right? Anybody who's ever tried to get a kid to go to sleep, so you know how to be makar of a chayken. You don't give up. You try nachamol, and then when you finish trying, you still try. And after you're in bed already, you're right to come out. That's how it is. That's how I can tell you from as I say it. So that's the zach. It's the way we're learning. Kumt doch aus, that this v'daki al kol eile yaviach ol akim v'mishpat. That's mamish rav shneir's word, right? That smach boche v'yal d'secho. To rejoice in youth. That's a mishunet kazech. Which brings us to Mr. Churchill, Mr. Winston Churchill. He pointed once that, know what he did. I mean, he was also like Edson, a very mighty bigger person. He, again, we're talking about the war. You don't know how Jewish everybody was. England was totally unprepared for anything. And it was Bovra, Menusse, Boduk, Menusse by everybody. I mean, I was a child then, but I can't tell it to you from actual remembrance, but hearing now from my parents and so on, from the grown-ups, what was happening at the time. I mean, everybody was bother to everybody that the war would last a couple of weeks, and then the Germans would come with the Blitz and with everything. It was like it was a terrible matzah of Yush, was Scheure in England during the first months of the war. Very, very dark and bitter days. And Churchill became Prime Minister. He made a mitzvah. He managed to rally people, to instill them with confidence, with strength, with courage. He did a mitzvah because he was a mitzvah because of God. But what he did was mitzvah. Talking with the koyach of speech. And to learn and know what a speech can do. I remember, even as a child, I remember how he spoke and how in his speaking, he managed to rally people out of their lethargy and out of their years and out of their depression. It was, in a sense, a very myopic person. So he talked once about greatness. So he said that some people are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. That was his piskun. Yeah? So he was timing that. Yes, the people during the Blitz, they had greatness thrust upon them. In other words, they come matzavim in life when, sometimes you're born great. Very few people are born great. Some achieve greatness. It's schwer. For that you need shonim ketikunam. You need, all right, somebody who sits and he works. He works on himself and he's got mishunadika energy, mishunadika drive. So he achieves greatness. But some greatness thrust upon them. And amol, there's a shas chevon. There's a terrible time. There's a time which is a very, very difficult time. And then people are just made great. You have to be great to cope with the exigencies. You have to do something about it. Yeah? So people have greatness thrust upon them. You wonder whether in a tkufa like ours, whether we are not people who really are having greatness thrust upon us, except that perhaps we're not rising to it. But really the tekufa is is a time where we are called to greatness. Finish off with this beautiful moshel of the Prophet's time. You know the moshel? With the water, with the coffee. As repeating, the guy who came, was the Prophet's time, somebody tied it to him, like, I can't do this, I can't do that. He gave the moshel of the guy who, the prophet who came to the village. The peasant served him coffee, and it was from the dirty, muddy water of the village well. So the poet became very angry at him. He said, well, yeah, that's the kind of coffee, like, that's the kind of stuff you serve me. I don't want you ever to touch that water again. He said, fine, I won't. That night the village burned down. The poet came and said to Mr. Meshuggah, like, why didn't you put the fire out? He said, you told me not to use the water. Don't use the water, it's muddy water, we don't use it. So Meshuggah says, that's when you serve coffee, you don't use the water to put out a fire. Yeah, then you don't ask many shaitas about whether it's good water, whether it's bad water. You put out the fire with whatever you have. That's what the Chofetz Chaim time used to be when Klal Yisrael was very rich. So then people could say, all right, you don't use me, I'm muddy water. Like, you're going to make a cup of coffee for me, I'm going to be a machanah. I'm going to be the guy who's going to save Klal Yisrael. I can't do it. I don't have the patience. I'm not good at discipline. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. So, maybe he has a talent, so he's doing something else. As Chazon, Chazon didn't say everybody's great. Chazon said sometimes you've got to use muddy water too. And in churches, Nusach, that would be that there are matzovim in which a person has great trust upon him. I mean, that the matzovim, where a person has to realize that even if he isn't much good, but he can achieve greatness, he can reach for that and find choices in himself which mamash he never suspected. The choices are there. But for that you have to be young, you have to be young in heart. I think that in the context of the Terek, I think that's what Kehelet means. Same Kehelet who said, you watch the wind too much, you're never going to. So, go ahead, be zareh. Either wind may not be quite right, and be okay, don't worry. And if you lose a couple of handfuls of seed, it's Eichnisch Kehelet. Or you bother them, layikta, if you're going to check, is it going to rain, is it not going to rain, you never do anything. Jump in, do it. Try. Many times the skills come with the success. A person goes and does something, finds that he can do it, what he has thought he can do, makes him feel good. He finds kaiches in himself, which he never even suspected. If we don't, then dark, if we don't use the kaiches which the Baal Hashem gave us, we're too shy. We're too much unknowing, we don't have this geus de kedusha, then on that there's a mishpat. The Baal Hashem wants us to use the koichot which he